And since some of you may not be familiar with Bhagavad Gita, first I'll speak a little bit about Bhagavad Gita and then I'll speak from one verse in there.
И поскольку многие из вас, может быть, не знают, как хорошо эту книгу, то я вначале немного скажу о самой книге, и потом прочитаю один текст из этой книги, и на основе этого текста мы поговорим.
The literal translation of Bhagavad Gita means Song of God.
Буквальный перевод слова Bhagavad Gita означает «песня Бога».
And it is a recorded conversation which took place many thousands of years ago.
И этот разговор, записанный разговор, и этот разговор состоялся много тысяч лет назад.
And this conversation is contained within a greater text of Vedic literatures, which is called the Mahabharata.
И этот разговор, он содержится в другом тексте, в очень таком, ну, обширном по объему, который называется Mahabharata.
This Mahabharata, which includes Bhagavad Gita, as well as many other of the Vedic literatures were compiled by personality known as
Vyasa,
who is considered to be a literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and who appeared in order to compile the wealth of Vedic wisdom into a literary form.
Он пришел для того, чтобы богатство ведической литературы.
Он пришел для того, чтобы богатство ведической литературы представить, богатство ведь представить в литературной форме.
The Bhagavad Gita actually comes from a very large body of knowledge called the Vedas.
Bhagavad Gita, источник Bhagavad Gita является Веды, которые содержат
And in the Bhagavad Gita, it is described by Krishna himself that by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. In other words, what the actual goal of all Vedic wisdom is to understand who is the Supreme Being.
Другими словами, целью всей ведической литературы. Цель всей ведической литературы — это понять, кто является Верховным.
And the Vedic wisdom, the knowledge contained within the Vedas, is truths which are ultimately emanating from the Supreme.
И знание, которое содержится в Ведах, это истина, которая исходит от самого Верховного Господа.
When we use the word Supreme Being, we're speaking about a
personality.
And you may many times hear me in the course of this lecture use the word Krishna. Krishna is a Sanskrit word which means all attractive. And it is one of the names of the The Supreme Lord is known as all attractive because he manifests all qualities in complete form. Which make a person attractive. First, for instance, a person may be attractive because of their beauty.
Например, человек может быть привлекательным, потому что он красив.
Person may be attractive because of their knowledge.
Он может быть привлекательным, потому что он обладает таким знанием.
Person be attractive because of their strength.
Может быть привлекательным, потому что он обладает силой.
Their wealth. Their fame.
Славой.
Renunciation.
Неотречение.
These are all qualities that make a person attractive. But when we use the word Krishna in relationship to the Supreme Being, it means that he is all attractive. Because Krishna possesses all being complete. And my connection with him is that I am his servant. That's my connection with the Supreme Being. We all want to love somebody. And love means we want to serve them. And we actually develop our love for the Supreme Being. And we can see our connection with everyone else also. We can see the true equality of all living beings. We're all servants of the Supreme. That is real equality. In this world, we always try to establish some standard of equality. But we see that no matter how hard we try to establish some standard for equality, there's always somebody who's exploiting and taking advantage. Then people revolt. They want to get rid of their leaders and establish new leaders. And then put in new proposals for equality. But actually, real equality is on the spiritual platform. And this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. That on the spiritual platform, every living being is a servant of God. And therefore, one who actually has spiritual vision, he sees all living beings as equal. This is also explained in the Ishopanishad. That one who sees all spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord, he becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? In other words, he doesn't see the external dress. One who actually has spiritual vision, he sees that all living entities are equal. And every living being has an equal opportunity to render service to God. He doesn't think, oh, this, let me exploit this person, let me take something from him for himself, myself. No, he sees that everything belongs to God. I belong to God. Everything I have belongs to God. And therefore, to establish my connection with Him, I simply have to offer all that I have to Him. That's Krishna consciousness. That's service to the Supreme. But the wonderful thing about serving the Supreme Lord is because He is the Supreme. When we serve Him, our real self-interest is automatically served. Why? He doesn't need anything we offer to Him. It's already His. He's the proprietor of everything. We may offer something to Him, but what does He need that we offer to Him? We already said that one of the characteristics of the Supreme Being is the Supreme Proprietor. That means everything has been created by Him and everything belongs to Him. So when we offer something to Him, it's not that He needs it. We benefit by offering it to Him. Because that's how we develop our love for Him. Example is also given in the Vedic literatures. That just like when a person stands in front of the mirror, maybe sometimes you do this in the morning, you stand in front of the mirror, and you decorate your face in the mirror. When you decorate your face,
Когда вы касаетесь моего лица,
the reflection is automatically generated.
Ну, как бы лицо отражается в зеркале. И когда вы украшаете именно лицо, то также отражение, оно автоматически украшается.
You don't have to decorate the reflection too.
То есть это отражение зеркала нет необходимости украшать.
It's automatically done.
То есть это уже там присутствует, это уже сделано.
In the same way, when we offer something to God,
подобным же образом, когда мы предлагаем что-то Богу,
He doesn't need it.
Ему не нужно.
But we benefit by offering.
Но мы получаем благо от того, что предлагаем это ему.
Even says in the Bhagavad Gita.
Он даже говорит в Бхагавад Гите.
Says if somebody offers me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, a water, with love and devotion.
Что если кто-то мне предложит цветок, плод, цветок или воду с любовью и преданностью?
He says I will accept that offer.
Он говорит, я приму это предложение.
He says somebody can even offer him a leaf.
Он говорит, что кто-то может предложить мне даже листок.
And I'll be very, very pleased to accept that.
И он будет очень рад принять это.
Now, does he need a leaf?
Мы думаем, ну, ему нужен этот листок.
It's not the leaf that's attractive to him.
Это не то, что, то есть, то, что его привлекает, это не сам листок.
It's the love.
Это любовь.
It's the devotion that one has in his heart.
Это преданность, которая есть в сердце человека.
He wants to give something back to God.
Он хочет что-то вернуть Богу, предложить ему.
Just like a young child. Sometimes a father may give a child some small amount of money. He says, here, son, take this money. Go buy what you want with the money. So the child takes the money and he thinks, what will I buy with this? It's not very much money. He goes to the store and he buys some candy. And then after he buys this candy, he thinks, what will I do with this candy? So he goes back to his father and says, here, father, here's some candy. When the father sees his son offering the candy,
the
father's very pleased. It's not because it's the candy. It's because his son took what the father gave to him and he gave it back and offered something back to him. It's the love. It's a child's symbol of affection. When he gives something back to his father. So the father understands the motive. And he's very pleased that my child has given him something back to him. In the same way, the Supreme Lord has given everything in this world. He's the creator of everything in this world. And all he asks is that whatever we use in this world, we should offer it first to him and sacrifice
it.
It doesn't mean that we can't use it ourselves. It's still there for us to use. But we first offer it to Him. This is how we understand our relationship with the Supreme Being. How I am connected to the Supreme Being. How everything in this world is connected to the Supreme Being. And how everyone in this world is connected. This is Krishna consciousness. And this is a platform for peace and happiness. The message of Bhagavad Gita, as we said, is not a sectarian message. This message can be understood by any religious tradition.
Это послание может быть понято в рамках любой религиозной традиции.
The goal of religion is to develop one's love for God.
Цель религии – развить любовь к Богу.
That is the ultimate goal.
И это конечная цель.
And any system of religion that teaches its followers to develop love for God.
И любая система религии учит своих последователей развить любовь к Богу.
It's a bona fide system of religion.
И вот если это происходит, то это истинная религия.
So we're simply speaking about certain basic principles.
Итак, мы говорим о некоторых.
We're not saying that one has to chant Krishna's names. But But if you're not chanting any names of God, then why not chant Krishna's name? In the Lord's Prayer it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The name of Lord, of God is sacred. The name of God is considered to be very sacred. So, any name of God, just glorify the Supreme Being. The more we glorify Him, the more we can remember our connection with Him. That is the actual goal of Krishna consciousness. The goal of Krishna consciousness and the goal of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita is to help every living being understand his eternal connection with the Supreme. When one actually knows his connection with the Supreme, he can live in this world. He can learn how to be happy in this world and not be attached to this world. Because his real attachment is his relationship with the Supreme. Everything will ultimately be taken away in due course of time. But one thing can never be taken away. It's one's this connection with the Supreme Lord. That can never be taken away in due course of time. And therefore the actual goal in this human form of life, the goal of all of our work, everything that we do in this world, is to ultimately bring us to this understanding. That I'm eternal part and parcel of the Supreme. And the actual goal of this life is to always remember Him. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says, Anta Kali Chamam Iva Smaran Mukha Kudaiva. He says, whoever remembers me at the time of giving up his body, he at once attains my nature. I land with one little simple example our spiritual master gives in this connection. Very simple story about a kitten and a cat. The cat, she carries a kitten in her mouth. Whenever the cat approaches the young kitten, she opens her mouth, she picks the kitten up from behind the neck. And when the kitten sees the cat coming, there's no fear in the heart of the kitten. The kitten's thinking, this is my mother, she's coming to take me home. So that same cat, sometimes it is found that this cat will approach a mouse. And the cat will open her mouth, and she'll show her teeth. And when the mouse sees the cat coming, the mouse doesn't see the same thing as the kitten. It's the same cat, same mouth, same teeth, but a very different perception. So in the same way, for one who's actually Krishna conscious, one who actually knows he's eternal, then when he has to give up his body, there's no fear. Krishna says, whoever remembers me at the time of giving up his body, he will attain my nature.
Because
he knows he's eternal.
Потому что человек знает, что он вечен.
But for one who does not practice Krishna consciousness in this life, when he's forced to give up his body, he doesn't want to give it up.
It's
a cause of great fear. But he's forced to give it up. Because everything is temporary in this world. Therefore, the goal of human life is to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Whatever work we do in this world, whether we're with our family, friends, society, whatever possessions we collect in this world, we simply must add this one to everything. Krishna consciousness teaches us how to add one to all
something.
Krishna consciousness doesn't teach give everything up. No. Don't give everything up. And that's meaning. It's been given to us for a purpose. So Krishna consciousness does not teach to give everything up. Krishna consciousness teaches to add one. To add our understanding of who is the Supreme Being. This is the very simple, basic knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And in making this presentation, I made great effort to many times quote or cite references from the Bhagavad
Gita.
I only referred to maybe 10-15 verses from Bhagavad Gita. But there's so many verses in Bhagavad Gita. And they're all full of meaning. So, for those of you who have not read Bhagavad Gita, we invite you to please examine it for yourself. See for yourself the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita will enhance your understanding of religion. See if the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita will help you to understand how to add this one to your life. So that the human life will not be wasted. And one will actually be able to obtain the ultimate goal of this life. Is to establish our eternal connection. So I'd like to thank all of you for coming, for your kind attention that you've given. I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to speak to all of you today. And if any of you would like to ask any questions about anything that we've spoken about, then I will ask if you'd like to ask them, you can ask them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Krishna.
Thank you, Krishna.
Yes.
She can see that you possess some signs of renunciation, and she is asking you what kind of austerities you have, you take, what kind of austerities, how many rounds you chant in the day, and about the austerities you chant.
Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches that real renunciation means to use anything for Krishna service.
Что истинное значение – это использовать все в служении Кришне.
It is stated elsewhere in the Vedas. That one who renounces things without understanding his their relationship with Krishna is not as complete in his renunciation as one who sees everything's connection to Krishna and uses it.
Но оно полноценно для того, кто увидит, как это связано с Кришной и умеет использовать это служение с Кришной.
So, the renunciation which I'm practicing is on this platform.
Итак, то обличение, которое я практикую, оно как раз вот на этом уровне.
I've accepted some vows of renunciation.
Я принял некоторые обеты обличения.
By my own choice.
По своему выбору.
I've taken a vow in this life, for instance, to never marry.
Например, в этой жизни никогда не иметь семьи.
Taken a vow of celibacy.
Я принял обет целибата.
And I've been practicing this vow for 28 years.
Я уже следую этому обету 28 лет.
And I've also taken a vow to chant Hare Krishna.
И также я принял обет воспевать Hare Krishna.
For a prescribed number of rounds of beads every day. I've also been doing that for 28 years. And as far as any other renunciation that I follow, the principle is to accept whatever is necessary for maintaining body and soul together. It is not that we have to force some austerities upon ourselves. For instance, it's not necessary to submerge oneself in the water in the middle of the winter. To sit in a circle of fire in the middle of the heat of the summer sun. These types of austerities are not necessary. Sometimes persons may accept such severe austerities and their heart becomes hard.
И иногда часто бывает так, что человек принимает такие аскезы, следует им, но его сердце становится очень жестким.
Because the austerities are artificial.
Потому что эти аскезы, они искусственные.
And although they may be very renounced for some time,
и хотя этот человек может в течение какого-то времени задержать отречение,
they can't keep their renunciation.
Он не может поддерживать свое отречение.
And at some point they just completely go completely the opposite.
И в какой-то момент он все это оставляет и
because the renunciation was artificial. This is called Palguvaragya. Our spiritual master, he gives an example. That in India there's a river that's called the Palgu River. This Palgu River, it flows beneath the surface. You can't see it on the surface. But when you stick your hand in the ground, you can feel the current flowing below the surface. He says, similarly, there are persons who are called Palguvaragis. The word vairagi means renunciation. They have austerities. But in their heart, they're always meditating on gratification of their senses. So although they accept very severe austerities, in due course of time, because their heart is filled, it's like Srila Prabhupada gives the example. See, on the surface they may appear to be very renounced. But if you stick your hand in their heart, you'll see there are so many desires. Just like the Palgu River. On the surface it appears nothing's there. So these are called false renunciations. They just accept some severe austerities and penances. But they're not really renounced. Because their hearts are still filled with lusty desire. And therefore they fall down from their renunciation. So real renunciation means to do everything for Krishna. This is perfect renunciation. Because Krishna, He is the reservoir of all pleasure. And when we actually serve Krishna, use our senses to serve Krishna, use our tongue to speak about Krishna, eat food which has always been offered to Krishna. When we use our senses to serve Krishna, Krishna gives a higher pleasure. When one actually has a higher pleasure, his renunciation is complete. He doesn't have to think about renunciation. He's tasting something higher. Where sometimes persons who try to renounce, just like sometimes people, when they hear, I'm celibate for 28 years. They think of persons who are celibate. How do they do it? They think that we just sit around just chewing our nails in frustration. But actually, it's not like that. Spiritual life means a higher pleasure. When somebody actually experiences a higher pleasure, then giving up lower pleasure is not a very difficult thing. Well, somebody may challenge my statement, and they may say, oh, come on, I know what the highest pleasure is. But they may not have experienced the higher pleasure. Therefore we say, try for yourself. Just see if Krishna consciousness is not a higher pleasure. For those who strictly practice Krishna consciousness, renunciation automatically follows. Therefore we don't have to voluntarily accept very great austerities. We simply accept that which Krishna has given to us. Krishna has given us a very simple process by which we can actually experience higher pleasure. We chant Hare Krishna. We speak about Krishna. We hear about Krishna. These are our austerities.
А может тебе помнить, какой все сны, не скажу, что будущее, настоящее, прошлое, что помнит, что было. Как, например, в Менделееву ее таблицу, во сне, свою таблицу Менделеева, написал из того, вот так пришел к человеку,
Is it possible that Krishna shows the person in his dreams some predictions and what is his future or somebody's future? Is it possible, like some scientist, he saw something in dreams and then discovered that?
Yes, it's possible, but we should not depend upon it. It should always be confirmed by scripture.
Один человек живет, убивает сознание Кришна, другой нет. В конце концов, Бог умирает. Куда денешься смерть? Что такое, во-первых, смерть, во-вторых, я как вас помню, который не развивается, на него страх помогает. Как это? Бог же умрет. Что не получится на вашем уровне? Ведь все это равнозначно. Они, которые развивал человек сознание, которые не развивал, они же тоже чистится
Бог. The question is that those who develop Krishna consciousness, they will die sometimes. And those who don't develop, they also will die. And so what is the difference? What they will get? And those who develop, they don't, how to say, you said that they don't feel the fear, but still anyway they die. And what is the difference?
Well, the difference is, as we try to explain very simply, because we want to break you too.
Пытались объяснить очень просто, без многих деталей.
Is that the soul is eternal?
Это о том, что душа вечна.
And there's an eternal activity of the soul.
И есть у этой души деятельность, которая вечно присуща.
Right now that activity of the soul is pervertedly reflected in this world through these bodies.
Прямо сейчас эта деятельность души, она проявляется в этом мире через тело.
That's called service. The eternal activity of the soul is called service.
И вечная деятельность души называется служением.
Every one of us is a servant.
То есть мы все являемся слугами.
It's called dharma.
Это называется дхарма.
For instance, the example is given that the dharma of water.
Дхарма. Вы даете пример, что дхарма воды.
Is liquidity.
Это то, что она жидкая.
Right? You can't take liquidity away from water and call it water.
Правда, то есть вы не можете, например, это свойство отобрать у воды. Это уже не будет называться.
I'll answer your question. Be patient.
То есть будьте терпеливы, я отвечу на ваш вопрос.
The dharma of fire.
А дхарма огня.
Is heat and light.
Это свет и тепло.
You can't take heat and light away from fire.
Вы не можете его огня отобрать эти свойства.
And call it fire.
И назвать это огнем.
So the dharma of every living being.
Итак, дхарма каждого живого существа.
Service. We're all servants. We're servants of friends. We're servants of our family members. We're servants of society. We're serving because we need something. Therefore, when we serve somebody, we serve with the expectation of getting something in return. It's our nature to serve. You can't take that service propensity away. Because it's the symptom of life. It's the dharma of every living being. So the difference. But one will actually realize is his relationship with Krishna.
Между тем, кто действительно понял свои взаимоотношения с
Кришной, body,
то тогда, когда такой человек, он оставляет свое тело, он продолжает служить
Кришне.
Потому что он знает, что в своем служении он уже больше не зависит от этого тела. Служение Богу — это вечная деятельность души.
And what is the experience in that service?
И какой опыт человек обретает в этом служении?
There are three words in Sanskrit.
И три слова в санскрите.
Сат,
чит,
and ананда.
И ананда.
Сат means he experiences eternity.
Сат означает, что человек понимает, что он вечен, он испытывает это.
Чит means he experiences full knowledge.
Чит означает, что он обретает полное знание.
He knows who he is.
Он знает, кто он.
And he's never bewildered about his actual identity.
И он никогда не забывает о своем истинном предназначении.
And ananda means he experiences ever increasing pleasure.
И ананда указывает на то, что он испытывает постоянно увеличивающееся блаженство.
That never stops.
Которое никогда не
прекращается.
Это всегда увеличивается.
That is the quality, characteristic of the soul.
И вот это характеристики души.
For one who gives up his body in Krishna consciousness, he achieves this state,
Satchitananda.
Actually, he can achieve that state even before giving up his body. Even before giving up his body, he can actually be liberated while in his body. So when the body dies, he just simply continues to do the same thing he did while he was in the body. Because he's detached from the body. The example is given, just like a ripe coconut. When a coconut becomes completely ripe, you can shake it. You can hear it rattle inside. Because it's completely detached from the shell. Similarly, a liberated soul. He's always detached from the body. So although the body dies, he knows he doesn't die. The body dies because the body is
still.
But a person is not in Krishna consciousness. And when he dies, then as we gave the example, the living entity carries his different conceptions of life from one body to the next. Just as the air carries different aromas from one place to the next. Whatever desire we have at the time of death that's connected to this temporary world, we have to come back and accept another body to fulfill that desire. It means to accept another material body, another birth, and another death. That is the difference. And that birth and death goes on continuously. Until one actually restores his original desire of love for God. Because it's described that the living entity, when he goes from one body to the next, an expansion of the Lord accompanies him, as it is called the super soul. Within the heart of every living being is the soul and the super soul, who is the supreme God. And that supreme super soul, he acts as the witness and creator.
И вот этот Верховный Господь в форме Святой Души, Он действует как тот, кто дает разрешение и как свидетель.
Whatever desires we have,
какие бы желания у нас ни были,
then He facilitates that for us.
То тогда Он устраивает, чтобы они исполнились.
Therefore, at the time of death,
поэтому во время смерти,
and with the help of the super soul,
с помощью Святой Души,
the living entity is given another suitable body according to His desire.
И вот что потом получает новое тело, которое соответствует Его желаниям.
And the super soul accompanies him. It's understood that when a living entity finally comes to the human form of life, the human form of life is the gift of nature. It is considered a gift. Because in the human form of life, the human being can discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. Lower life forms don't have that capacity. But a human being has religion. Therefore, he can discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. And therefore, the human form of life is considered to be a gift. Because in the human form of life, one can actually prepare himself to go back. But if you waste this human form, simply to try to gratify the demands of the body without ever realizing his actual eternal relationship with the Supreme, he has to take another birth and his suffering continues. Therefore, such a person is described in Sanskrit as a
Kripana.
Kripana means a miser. A miser is somebody who has wealth, but he doesn't use it for anything good. He just enjoys counting his money. He's a miser.
Это скупец.
He doesn't want to spend it for anything good.
Он не хочет потратить ни на что полезное.
Even though he has so much wealth.
Даже несмотря на то, что у него столько богатства.
So similarly, a human being has great wealth. Because he has a body which can give him self-realization.
Потому что у него есть тело, которое может понять его, может помочь ему понять его положение.
But if he doesn't use his higher intelligence,
но если он не использует вот этот высший разум, который нужен,
for self-realization,
для самосознания,
and he simply engages in animal propensities,
и просто занят тем же, чем занимается животное,
without discriminating between what is right and what is wrong,
даже не отличая, что верно, что нет.
According to the laws of God, it's described that he wastes his very valuable human form of life. Just like if somebody gives you a very valuable gift, gives you a very valuable stereo. And it says here, it's a gift. You open up the box, you see inside this very, very complex stereo system. It's got so many buttons. Eight speakers. Immediately you think, how do I use this to its full potential? It's natural, right? You want to use it. Everything that's been given. So you pull out the manual, and you start looking through the manual. What does this button do? Oh, listen to that. What does this button do? And immediately you're thinking, how can I use it? Because it's a gift. In the same way, human life is a gift. And an intelligent person should be thinking, how can I use this human body to its full potential? Why should I waste it? Simply creating more suffering for myself. I should use it to its full potential. And inquire into the nature of the absolute truth.
И когда человек начинает задавать вопросы о природе абсолютной истины.
Therefore, an intelligent person in this life,
поэтому разумный человек в этой жизни,
should be thinking,
должен думать,
how do I stop suffering for good?
Как остановить страдания?
Not temporarily.
Не на какое-то время.
For good.
Но навсегда.
That's what happens to the person who actually leaves his body in Krishna consciousness.
Это то, что происходит с человеком, который оставляет тело в сознании Кришны.
But Krishna consciousness is so such a valuable thing.
Но сознание Кришны это настолько ценная вещь.
That even if one doesn't complete Krishna consciousness in this life,
что даже если человек не заканчивает развитие сознания Кришны в этой жизни,
he never loses anything he gains in this life.
Он никогда не теряет даже то, что он уже обрел.
In his next life, he takes birth again.
И в следующей жизни он рождается.
In a favorable situation.
Он рождается в благоприятных.
Which will enable him to continue his execution.
Условия, которые помогают ему продолжать развивать сознание Кришны.
Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says.
Поэтому Бхагавад Гита Кришна говорит.
Нехабракама нашаси патил вайна виджите. Скалкама пьяса дамаси трайате махато бхаят. He says, in this endeavor, there's never any loss.
Он говорит, что в этих, на этом пути нет никогда никаких потерь.
Nor never any diminution.
И нет, то есть, мы ничего не теряем.
And a little advancement in this path will protect one from the most dangerous type of fear.
И даже небольшое продвижение по этому пути защищает нас от самого опасного страха.
Any advancement in Krishna consciousness gained in this life is eternal credit.
И любое продвижение, даже небольшое, которое мы обретаем в сознании Кришны в этой жизни, это записывается на наш личный счет.
Yes.
Я бы хотел получить ответ на свой вопрос. Вот, именно из ваших уст. Вопрос у меня такой. Вот мы называем там все высшие силы творения, там Бог, непроявленные там формы Кришне, Бог там и так далее. Бог, слово Бог, состоящий из трех звуков. Б-О-Э. Ну, если так на примитиве, кому пришло в голову, нет, можно ли сделать разметку этого слова? Что значит Б-О-Э? И кому пришло в голову первоначально или изначально назвать вот эту высшую сущность именно словом Бог, состоящую из трех звуков?
The question that actually we call the God, we call him God in Russian book, and he asked you to explain. He's asking you to explain who was the source who started to call him God. I mean, Bog in Russian. And what is the meaning of every letter? We all...
Maybe you can answer this question, I can answer this question.
Okay.
Huh? I can answer this question, but I don't know what the letters stand for. I don't know much.
Probably he's expecting something more philosophical. Answer, not regarding Russian grammar or...
I can't give you the epistemology of this word. You know epistemology?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with the Russian language. Therefore, I ask maybe someone else can help you.
He has a few questions and he wants to get, you know, answers step by step. First question, in your name there are additional names, Vani. What does it mean, how you got it, and what is behind? So what is the meaning of this poems from this traditional name?
What is it what?
What for,
the meaning of this word Swami that follows the name. Is that what it is?
No. What is the meaning?
I can't hear you. What is it? Use the microphone. I can't hear you.
What is the meaning of this word? And what is behind this word Swami? And how we both of this kind of...
Swami means one who controls the senses.
Swami означает тот, кто контролирует чувства.
It's a title which is given to one who accepts the renounced order of life. The title may not necessarily mean that the person is the controller of the senses.
Но там титул, он не означает, как бы автоматически, что человек уже контролирует чувства.
But it means he's supposed to control the senses.
Но он предполагается, что он должен контролировать свои чувства.
According to the Vedic tradition, there were four orders of life. The first order is the celibate student life, called
brahmacharya.
And After Brahmacharya life, if one chooses, he may get married. And then it's understood at a later point in life, he has, he can accept what's called vanaprastha, or retired life. And the fourth stage of life is called sannyas, which is the renounced order of life. One can accept the renounced order of life after going through these three stages. Or if one chooses to never marry, as I did, at some point he may be awarded the title Swami, which means one who controls his senses. And as I explained before in answer to this other question about austerities, I explained how we control our senses. And that title was conferred upon me 13 years ago when I accepted the vow of sannyas. When I took a vow to never marry, and one of the also his duties of a sannyas is to travel and have no home. I have no home. I'm always traveling. I have no fixed place of residence. It's been like that for the last 13 years. I have no possessions. I keep no accounts, bank accounts. I have no family because I've taken a vow to not get married. And this way, by minimizing all of these external attachments, it gives me full facility to dedicate my life to travel and to speak about Krishna. And as we explained before, to always speak about Krishna helps us to control our senses. And therefore I was given the title Swami.
Я вас задал прежде вопрос, и услышал ответ, значит, так сказать, вы сказали, что вас уже 28 лет на дали обед, а потом через 13 лет дали повторный обед, не так, повторный обед дали, и только когда дали бы повторный обед, мы же следуем спинцу, если бы так сказать, то вот это звание такое, да, да.
Севастоп.
Вот это звание, примерно равноценно, например, христианскому святому. То есть человек, который вот представил, что с вами имеет, а, например, георгий, то он обладает определенными сверхспособностями. Теми сверхспособностями, которыми не обладает обычный человек, который еще просто не женит. И ничего не еще. То есть вот это с вами, ваше понимание, я понимаю, ниже, чем то понятие с вами, которое переводится в санскрит. Вот
я ошибаюсь, And also, the main expression falls after that. That human understanding is that this kind of family is usually given to the person who is like a saint in like a Christian church. And if you was given this title, then probably means that you have some special perfections or special perfections. And can you tell us those perfections you have or can you show up?
Uh, As I explained before, the first stage of life is student life. And in student life, one can always get married afterwards if he so chooses. I practiced student life for 15 years. And I always had the choice of whether or not I wanted to be married. But sometimes somebody may, even in his youth, think that he doesn't want to get married. But as he grows older, his desires change because he still hasn't perfected himself. So generally, the title Swami is not conferred upon a person until he's practiced for many, many years. And has demonstrated renunciation. Not just simply by his giving up of the external things. But by his ability to be always engaged in spiritual activities. Because as we explained before, this is what protects one's renunciation. Because those spiritual activities give one a higher sense of satisfaction. Therefore, generally, renounced order of life is not accepted by someone while he's still young. Although I was rather young also when I accepted renounced order of life. But I was also given. Because generally one who accepts the renounced order of life, there's some respect for this people. And it's not because the person wants respect. No, we should never want respect. But when there is respect, generally people will want to hear what a person has to say. So in our Krishna Consciousness Society, which is a worldwide organization, which there were hundreds and thousands of membership, generally one who has accepted the renounced order of life is given some respect. It's not that it makes any difference between you and me. Most of you may not even know what Swami means, and it doesn't make any difference. But for the hundreds of thousands of followers of the Krishna consciousness, the title Swami means that there's some respect that is given.
You decide. I also have a question.
Разумно ли будет являться предложение прежде Богу, если достойное вообще, если в этом будет тебя нуждаться больше нуждающийся, потому что у Бога же все есть. Щедро ли будет ожидать за это взамен по отношению к окружающим, ибо Бог окружающий мир.
So he was told that Sanatana Goswami had this in his possession. So he went to Sanatana Goswami. And he folded his hands before Sanatana Goswami. He says, "I've come before you because I've heard that you possess a very valuable touchstone." And Sanatana Goswami said, "It's right over there." And the beggar said, "Where is it?" And he said, "You see all that rubbish? It's somewhere in there." So the beggar, he went and he looked for the rubbish and he found
Pashtun.
So he's thinking, "That's a very valuable
Pashtun."
He took the touchstone, he began walking away. He began to think, "If this touchstone is so valuable, why does Sanatana Goswami keep it in the rubbish? That means he must have something more valuable. I want that which is most valuable. Otherwise, why would he keep it in this rubbish?" So he went back to Sanatana Goswami. He says, "I think you have something more valuable than this." And Sanatana Goswami said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Why are you thinking this
way?"
He says, "Because I noticed that you didn't care where this touchstone was. It was lying in the rubbish." So then he asked, "I want that which you have is more valuable." So Sanatana Goswami said, "Okay. If you want, then you see this touchstone. Go down to the river. Throw it in the river. And then come back. And I'll give you that which is most valuable." So the beggar did
it.
And he came back to Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami enlightened him. And he gave him devotional service in the holy name of the Lord. Because he wanted the most valuable thing. So the point is that the Supreme Lord is prepared to give. He wants to give in return. He doesn't need anything that we offer. He only wants to see the love. And what is the symptom of the love? The symptom of love is that a person is prepared to offer something to God without any conditions. That's love. As soon as he offers something, thinking, "I want something in return," that's business. We shouldn't engage in business with God. Only thing He wants is our love. He doesn't want business. He's not interested in business. But when he sees that somebody offers something to him, without condition, even though he may not have much, but when he offers it with love, the Lord gives him back more than he could possibly even imagine. Because the Lord gives him the greatest gift. The greatest gift is devotion. So therefore, one always has to offer everything. And the Lord will give whatever one needs. And it's only due to the lack of Krishna consciousness. So, what is the actual source of suffering? The source of suffering in this world is simply due to one thing. It's a lack of God consciousness.
Это недостаток сознания Бога.
And the greatest gift that one can give.
И величайший дар, который может быть получен,
is to give Krishna consciousness back to everyone.
Величайший дар, который мы можем давать, это давать всем сознание Кришны.
Does it mean that one cannot have wealth?
Это не имеет значения, иногда человек
имеет. One cannot have position.
Не имеет значения, чем он обладает.
One who uses everything for the service of God.
Просто можно использовать все в служении Богу.
Will be satisfied in any condition of life.
И такой человек будет удовлетворен в любом условии жизни.
I'm sorry, but I was told that I'm supposed to end the lecture now.
Последний
вопрос.
Что
делать?
Как вы нагрелись? Подарите свои мнения. Или как-то не перебивали.